Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Now we're talking.
Here come old Flat Top. He come grooving up slowly. He got
1-0-10. I'm so used to saying 1-10-0-3.
He got hair down to his knee. Got to be a joker. He just do what he please.
All right, 10:03, McBonnie here with you. The Knicks take down the 76ers, 111-99. Obviously, doing the show, didn't see too much of the game. Brunson left with an apparent ankle injury, came back into the game, finished out 18 points. Towns, 21, and Anunoby, 24 points. We got a little bit more from the bench. McBride scored 15 in this game, played 26 minutes. Sims played 10. Ryan played 9. Payneback played 9. A good performance. It was the first game back from Embiid with the 76ers. And it was a NBA Cup game. Raise the banner. Let's go. Let's get a championship in this town. Why not? As they played on that hideous blue court out in Philadelphia. But they do get a win. The Knicks are now 500 at 5-5. The 76ers, 2-8 and 1-4 in that building. But that is a solid win for the New York Knicks, who, you know, need to find themselves still. I mean, I think we're a little, it's not been a great start to the season. 5-5 for the first 10 is not what you're looking for necessarily, but, and you haven't really got great play out of Bridges, haven't got really Brunson playing at the top of his game just yet. Shot 5-for-15 in this game. I mean, you know, 0-for-4 from three-point land from Brunson. 0-for-2 from Bridges, 7-for-13 from the floor for him. But they're still finding themselves. Like, it's just, this is a new team. And I know the fans are going to get on them. I talked about this. They fell in love with that group. They fell in love with last year's team. The fan base fell in love with last year's team. And to break it up for a team that's still finding its way, that's bad defensively, that isn't nearly as, you know, as tenacious. And again, early on, as that team was last year, there's going to be some, they're not only competing with the rest of the NBA, they're competing with last year's team. For the fans' love and admiration and just the feeling of what that team was compared to what the feeling of this team is, which is right now in its infancy. And it's going to take some time for them to find how this works. It's going to take some time to develop how they handle late-game situations. It's going to take some time to find out who they are. And right now they haven't found it out, but this is a good start against a, you know, a team that's struggling, obviously, but Embiid back off the suspension, 111-99, good win for the Knicks. Rangers fall to the Winnipeg Jets, who, as Paulie told you, have won 15 of their first 16 games. That was the hockey and the basketball for tonight. We've been talking a lot about the New York Giants as Joe Shane held a press conference earlier today and told you absolutely nothing. And there really is nothing to say after going 2-8 in the first 10 games of a football season. The season is over for the Giants. All that matters is whether or not Joe Shane is coming back, which he answered in the affirmative that he expects to be back answered it really quickly and answered it pretty strongly. I don't think there was any sense of him being unsure. He feels pretty confident he'll be back. Daniel Jones, whether or not he will start, was called a business decision. I apologize. It should be a business decision considering his contract and where it will be next year if he gets hurt. But it will be a football decision on who the quarterback is moving forward. But they'll reevaluate it and they'll find out that what we all know, Daniel Jones isn't very good. And the idea of him being on the team next year, even if it is $23 million, makes you sick to your stomach. So that needs to end. The Daniel Jones era needs to come to an end. And we'll see how they handle it. But 4-8, I don't expect many answers from a GM. And he told you they're close, they're not. And he told you he believes in the roster, he shouldn't. And he told you they like their process outside of a playoff run year one. It hasn't been a great process. And yes, he's had some good draft picks this year. Newbin has been a good player, Phillips. Like, there have been some moves in this last draft that were pretty good in the back end. But he's had multiple first-round picks and top picks that haven't panned out. And there's a lot to be answered for with this team. But ultimately, they need a new quarterback. And I still believe in this group to draft and develop one. 888-808-1019. Let's go to the Bear in the Bronx. What's up, Bear?
How you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
How you doing? You hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. What's going on, man? You sound good.
I've been listening to your show. You got a real good show.
Thank you.
But you insulted the George Steinbrenner family. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I've been in the media for a while, but I'm pretty hurt because you're talking about the Giants and how bad they are. And yeah, the Giants are having a rotten year, but I've been having a rotten. I don't know how many years is it, 69 to now.
Yeah,
I mean the Jets have. I mean, and that's the story.
No, it's not. It's not the only story. It's one of the stories, and we spent a lot on it. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, this isn't a who had the worst misery contest. The Giants haven't been good for a decade. Now, I know prior to that, they won a couple championships.
But the Giants are cursed. They took out. They did a terrible thing when they took out Manning that time.
You think benching Eli Manning and ending the streak cursed the New York Giants?
Oh, absolutely.
It makes me think you believe in curses and that the Jets are cursed.
Oh, no, the Jets, it's got to be more than the curse. I mean, come on. It's a disaster every weekend. A disaster moving every weekend with the New York Jets. And it's all because they wanted the quick fix. Well, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hear you, Bear. I have to admit, I was on the side of what they did. I thought bringing Aaron Rodgers here was the exact thing to do and chase a championship and go all in and trade for Devontae Adams and bring in Lazard and some of the guys he asked for and, you know, everything other than keeping Zach Wilson as the backup last year. I agreed with almost everything they did, and then he gets hurt. I expected him to uplift this organization, not bring them down. I am shocked. I am shocked at what's going on with the New York Jets. I mean, you want to talk about cursed. And again, this isn't a contest on who's long and suffering. I get it. Yes, the Jets haven't won a championship since 69. The Giants have won 4 Super Bowls in that time period. I get it. And been to 5. I get it. Eli Manning isn't that long ago. Beating the undefeated New England Patriots isn't that long ago. It's pretty long ago, but it's not that long ago. But all I care about is the last 10 years. In the last 10 years, the New York Giants have been as bad as anybody. And today their GM spoke. Last week the Jets GM spoke, and we spoke about that. Like the story is both of these teams already having a dead season. Where I didn't, I tried to get a Giant guy on. They must have been busy, but I had Paul reach out to a couple of Giant beat guys. But I mean, it's the point where we're talking to Morosi. It's baseball season, man. Like after today, we're talking about Juan Soto. We're talking about free agency. I'm talking about the Knicks. Like football's dead here, dead. We're going to yell about Joe Shane, and we'll yell about different stuff. And every Monday, we'll yell about how awful they are. But then that's it. There's no carryover. There's nothing. Who cares about the New York Giants and the New York Jets? You want to talk about the story? That's the story. Why do we care? We shouldn't. Why do I care what nonsense answers he gives in a postgame after he led this team to 2-8? What do I care? Oh, he didn't take responsibility. Like, Are we not? Do we not have eyes and we know exactly what's going on here? We know the team's not good enough. We know they're not well coached at the moment. We know that the roster isn't good enough. And we know the quarterback is sucking them to the bottom of the ocean. He's an anchor around the neck of this franchise. And that's not fair to him, but it's true. And they did everything to turn him into an anchor as opposed to, a sailboat, whatever other nautical analogy you want me to use. But, like, it's their fault he's an anchor, but it doesn't change the fact that he is. And when he says he's close, it's red zone efficiency. We talked about, like, in the press conference, he talked about how many close games they played, and they're right there. And then immediately, a reporter, the question back was, okay, you talk about close games. You know you have the worst point differential in the NFL? Yeah, because they don't score touchdowns in the red zone. Why? Why? Because the quarterback can't make plays. The quarterback throws interceptions in the red zone. The quarterback can't hit open receivers in the red zone. The quarterback stinks. And now he's not the difference. They're not world beaters if they have a better quarterback. They're not a playoff team, but the season's alive. Moose in Jamaica, what's up, Moose?
What's good, C-Mac? How are we?
What's up, brother? How we doing?
Chilling. First things first, my apologies to the great Jerry Seinfeld for anybody dissing the show, but it was all regards. I'm born
it's
in 89, right?
Blame Paul.
No, I'm not trying to place blame. I just want to say, like, I understand what he's saying. I was born in 89, was a kid in the 90s, so when that show was popular, I didn't get it. It wasn't until my 20s when I started watching it on syndicated TV.
Yeah.
After 5 to 10 minutes, my stomach would be hurting with the dry, satirical, indirect humor. Like, I could not stop laughing.
Yeah, no, definitely. I have not. I wasn't around from the beginning of Seinfeld. I'm born in 1983. What was Seinfeld's first year? 91, 90, 89, right? So, I mean, yeah. I didn't get into Seinfeld until after either the late seasons, or I don't ever remember watching Seinfeld, like, what was it, Thursday nights? I don't ever remember sitting on the couch going, oh, it's Thursday, I got to watch Seinfeld. I guess maybe. But I remember more of TGIF. I remember more Family Matters. I remember more.
Yeah,
like, that was Phil House. That was more my speed. But whenever I got in, whenever it was, whether it was towards the end of the show or whatever case may be, once I started watching Seinfeld, the thing I love about Seinfeld, the same thing with Curb Your Enthusiasm. I love how all the storylines intertwine in a very clever and funny way at the end of the episode. I think that's what makes it makes it really funny for me, is that all of their loose ends, all of their storylines somehow find a way to be intertwined at the end of the episode. Kirby does a great job. That's just Larry David writing style, and I think it's
his genius.
Good. Yeah.
It's just his genius, for surely. So, yeah, J.P. Morosi, John Morosi,
yes.
I guess, you got some insight into the Yankees thinking, because I'm a Yankee fan just like you.
Yeah.
When it comes to Caleb Durbin. So, question, regarding the free agent market, second, short, third, whatever we can plug to replace Glaber, as obvious, it's looking obvious we're not going to bring him back. There's an option to bring in like Adam Frazier or a Jorge Polanco, or even sign Ha-Seong Kim to like a 5-6 year deal, have him be the stalwart there, and maybe move Durbin for other pieces later when we need to make a championship run. Or do you feel like if Caleb Durbin were to have a stellar spring training, should we roll the dice and put him in day one if he shows a lot of promise in spring training? Or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, it depends on. If they get Juan Soto or not. If they get Juan Soto, I think first base is... I want to fix first base. I know Ben Rice had a three-run home run game, and we all like him. Ben Rice isn't... I don't believe in Ben Rice. I'm sorry, I just don't. I could be wrong. Maybe it's because I remember Greg Bird too well, and I don't believe in it. I want to fix first base. I want a good first baseman. I want a good defensive first baseman, especially with an infield that has... A Anthony Volpe, who won a Gold Glove, but I think arm strength is his one issue with playing the position. Jazz could very likely be your third baseman. And again, we've seen errant throws and just not a great defense. Like, I need that stalwart at first base. I need a good defensive first baseman who can hit. Like, Christian Walker would be perfect for me. And I have no problem. I have no problem with Durbin being the starting second baseman if they believe in it. He just broke the record for, or I shouldn't say broke the record. He led the Arizona Fall League in stolen bases. He's having, you know, these unbelievable games all over the place. Everyone, John Morosi told you that scouts all across Major League Baseball think he's going to be a stud. That's exactly what Aaron Boone said. So I have no problem with giving him a try. I don't. I like having the youth on this team. I think that's good. That's how other teams were built. That's how the dynasty was built. Like, if you look at it, Volpe has to take that next jump. He's the guy, because he's the guy they believed in. He's their top prospect. They gave him shortstop. They need him to be good. But you got Wells, who was arguably, and is up one of the three finalists for Rookie of the Year, was arguably one of the better hitting catchers in the sport for the second half of the season. And the offense changed when they finally found him as their cleanup hitter. You've got Wells, Volpe, and possibly Durbin, and then Dominguez in center, possibly. Like, that is a core of the team up the middle of young, established talent and young, you know, from the system. And the system doesn't get enough credit in some ways. I just saw a tweet about how the Yankees have two of the top MVPs, the two of the top three MVP finalists, and two of the final three Rookie of the Year. And none of them were free agents. And I know Soto was a trade, but none of them were free agents. Judge is homegrown. Obviously, Luis Gil and Austin Wells are homegrown. Like, you got, that's the lifeblood. That should be the Yankee formula. Develop some talent, pay for superstars. That's it. Pay for a handful of superstars, develop young talent. That should be the plan. Lawrence in Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, Chris. How am I supposed to trust Brian Daboll and Joe Shane to do the next quarterback with this team when they've been so bad and they've only regressed? I agree that Shane's like done some good things in free agency. He's drafted some decent guys, but this team's just gotten worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see both of them go.
Yeah, here's the thing for me. I do believe that year one, the success of year one, changed the direction of the team. And this was, the rebuild got reset. It was almost like year one was a standalone year. They somehow figured out a way to get just enough out of Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, and that defense made just enough plays down the stretch of games where they found a way to win, won a playoff game, and felt like they couldn't just continue with their rebuild. They had to pay the quarterback because he just won them a road playoff game, and what else would they do? You know, they had to make decisions based on that, and ultimately now they're in kind of year two of a rebuild, and it's ugly. It's no doubt ugly, but they have put together a group that's going to be here. So whatever GM takes over, like if they fire Shane and Dable and they bring in another GM, like he's not going to get, like the team is pretty much going to be Joe Shane's for a year or two before that GM has a chance to get rid of some of these young players. Because again, it's the youngest defense in the NFL. They'll have a new quarterback, but they just kind of gave contracts to the offensive line. You know, they're not going to change wide receivers with Wandell Robinson and Neighbors. Like, well, so I mean, like, I feel like it's going to be his team for the next couple of years anyway. And I want to see these two get a chance to draft and develop the young quarterback. So when you ask me why should you trust them? I don't have a good answer other than, I think this is harder than we think, and year three to me really is only year two, and that winning season cost us a lot.
I would say, though, to argue that is that on paper the team is better now with the talent we have, and we are playing worse. And I blame that on Daboll more than I blame that on Shane because he's in front of the guys every day.
Yeah, I blame it more on Daniel.
Coaches, and that sets us back even worse.
I blame it more on Daniel.
Why can't we just get rid of the coach?
You can. No, you could get rid of the coach. It's not. I don't think you can get rid of the GM without getting rid of the coach. You can get rid of the coach without getting rid of the GM. If you think Brian Daboll isn't a good head coach, I think John Mara would well be within his rights to fire Daboll and Shane, but certainly fire Daboll and bring in another head coach, especially if, you know, there's a certain Hall of Famer waiting in the wings who wants to be the next Giant head coach, and I don't know that. But, again, and I know I'm harder on Daniel Jones than some, although it's getting to that point where nobody can defend him. I think the reason why they have more losses than they did last year are they're losing as many games as they have been losing as the quarterback. I do. I think this team would be far better off if they had an average quarterback, that the season would still be alive. They might have four wins, which I'm not telling you they're a playoff team, but they're not dead on November 12th. They're not dead with a better quarterback. Daniel Jones has sucked the life out of this team. You see, that's what happens with bad quarterbacks. We saw Zach Wilson suck the life out of the Jets. We've seen Aaron Rodgers not be Aaron Rodgers and still suck the life out of the Jets. Like, you need a franchise quarterback, and look what happens once you get one. Look at Washington. Washington was the one team the Giants could beat, even at their worst. Now they're going to go win this division. Now, I know they got a new owner, but that takes time. The reason they are where they are is Jaden Daniels, plain and simple. Look at where C.J. Stroud has taken the Texans. They were the worst. They couldn't win with Deshaun Watson. And I know Deshaun Watson back when he was good. Back when he was the top five quarterback in this league. They were awful for years. 1 year, C.J. Stroud has them winning playoff games. That's what a quarterback can do for your franchise.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help from mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't think Dable can coach. But it's been so bad, I couldn't argue it. 888-808-1019. Quick break, come back with more of your phone calls right here on The Fan as we have our ride to midnight. Another hour and a half until we take it till tomorrow. And Pat Boyle, 888-808-1019. We'll be right back.
Start some trouble and call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, little freeze a bird. 10:28, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for another hour and a half till we take you till midnight on our ride to midnight. Filling in for Keith, CM to AM, right here on The Fan. Let's get back to the calls. Jonathan in Los Angeles. What's up, Jonathan?
How's it going, T-Mac?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
T-Mac, stop being offensive to the Yankees, Mac.
I know. Terrible. Can you believe it? The things I blasphemy. Blasphemy!
See, man, I stay up listening to you here, bro, till like 1, 2 in the morning here in L.A., bro, because you say it the way it is, man. I know every time I praise you, but you say it the way it is, and the last thing you will do is throwing shots at the Yankees. You say it the way it is. It could be good. It could be bad. I mean, if people just want to hear good stuff about the Yankees, nah, man, it ain't about that.
I guess you can't say anything about George Steinbrenner either. Like, George is just... never made a wrong move in his life, and the kid, his son, is nothing like him, and it's embarrassing. And he should have his Steinbrenner card revoked. He should have to change. He should have to change his name. Hal.
It's funny. I was just having that talk with my wife about 2 days ago. I was explaining to her how Hal is compared to his dad, and now he has a big old test in front of him. All right, because now he has Juan Soto, and if he loses Juan Soto to the little brother Mets. oh, my goodness, George Steinbrenner is going to get up from his grave and just tell me, I don't even want to think the worst.
Yeah, no, listen, I agree with you. This is one he doesn't want to lose. There's no doubt.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope we don't lose him. But what do you think about this? He makes this quick lineup. I'm gonna give it to you really quick. Jason Dominguez leading off. Juan Soto, Judge, Christian Walker at first. Giancarlo, Jazz, Anthony Volpe, Austin Wells, and batting ninth, Caleb Durbin. For me, I'll take that.
Yeah.
For me, bro, after what happened in the World Series, I'll throw it out. You know what? Let's start fresh. Let's go. What do you think,
Steve? Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that's it. I mean, you got Juan Soto and Christian Walker. I mean, that's the offseason. I don't think they're in the market for a starting pitcher. Maybe some bullpen pieces, but it won't be top of the bullpen pieces. It won't be like a closer. It'll be lesser pieces because right now they don't have much of a bullpen. They have under contract. They have obviously Weaver, and they have Cousins, and they have Hamilton. Like, I think that's about it out of the bullpen. Hill is a free agent. My man Clay Holmes is a free agent. Loaizaga is a free agent. If you even remember that name, the guy never plays. Canely is a free agent. Like, so they have a lot of, they're going to have to add a couple bullpen pieces, but they're really good at that. And they're good at finding arms inside the organization who can do it. So I doubt they're in the, if they sign Juan Soto, I don't think they'd be in the pitching market. I think they'll get a first baseman or a third baseman, one or the other. And if they get a third baseman, then they will move Jazz to second, and they'll bring up either, they'll have the platoon of Cabrera and Ben Rice at first base, which I don't like as much as just getting a first baseman and playing Durbin at second. So we'll see. And listen, but there's a lot of answers there. Dominguez isn't going to be given anything. They're going to bring in another outfielder. Like, it won't be an expensive one, but they'll bring in another outfielder who could play center field, who could hit a little bit and see what Dominguez is. He's not guaranteed anything. Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Pete?
How are you doing, Chris? How's your family? Good.
Good. Everyone's good. How are you, Peter?
Good, good. Just to follow up with George Steinbrenner. So you're absolutely correct. If you look at the record, if you go back in the 77, 78, 76 season, I mean, if you take a look at the starters there, they mainly came up from a trade. So first base Chambliss came from Cleveland. Shortstop Dent came from Chicago. Mm-hmm. Third base Settles came from Cleveland. Mickey Rivers, center fielder, came from the Angels. Pinella came from KC. And Jackson was really the big free agent. Now, the problem here is, Chris, in 81, he did not re-sign him. Now, fast forward to 95, 96, you're right, Steinbrenner was out of the league, was suspended. I mean, the stick, Gene Michael, Bob Watson built up the team, basically. So, listen, Steinbrenner deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, obviously. Yeah. But again, greatly over-exaggerated about signing free agents. It was done mainly through trades and in-house, players. I mean, that's the way it was. So no, you're correct.
I know I'm correct. I mean, I know I'm correct. I know the history. I don't have to have lived it to know what happened. And that's not to knock George Steinbrenner or to say he's not a great owner or shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame or Yankee fans shouldn't think of him as someone who was great. He was great. But the idea that his son is a shell of himself and a shell of him and is embarrassing what's happened here and the fan base, the franchise has been taken to the depths we've never seen under George. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Just inaccurate. Now, they haven't won the championships, but the franchise is much more stable than it was for, I mean, and I know there's only two times that a Yankee fan is interested in regular season games. There's only two circumstances. Otherwise, it's all playoffs. It's all the care. We're going to find out about Judge. We don't care about your MVPs. We don't care about your home run records. We don't care. You couldn't hit in the postseason and drop the ball in the World Series. That's it. All we care about is the postseason. They won a division. Who cares? 99 games. Who cares? Number one overall seed. Doesn't matter. All that matters is what happened in the championship and whether they won one or not. There's only two times that Yankee fans care about the regular season. One, when they lose. If they lose a regular season game, they care very much about it. And two, They'll talk about regular season wins in the 80s to justify Joyce Steinbrenner. Those are the only two times that Yankee fans care about regular season. They care about a random regular season game when they lose it. And if they feel, if they're ever backed into a corner or take on this argument and they want to defend Joyce Steinbrenner, and I mentioned the drought between the, they'll talk about regular season wins in the 80s and how many games they won. They won more than any other franchise in the 80s. And if there was a wild card back then and blah, 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 blah. It's only two times when they lose and when they're trying to defend the 1980s and Joyce Steinbrenner. That's it. Joe in Cranford. What's up, Joe?
Hey, C-Mac.
Yes, sir.
So I was in my early teens in 77, 76, 77, 78.
Mm-hmm.
I can just barely remember when George Steinmer bought the team. I was pretty young, but he was like at the right time, you know, right person. Right
no, no doubt.
For that team.
They were fledgling. Were a fledgling franchise.
No, I know. I'm saying it was the right time as far as the right time in baseball because of what was happening with free agency, and all of a sudden he was spending all this money.
Right.
But, you know, after those glory years of what I consider the glory years and when he was there was, you know, 76, 77, 78, you know, a little bit in the early 80s. But then he became an embarrassment. I was embarrassed with George Steinbrenner as the owner.
Be careful, that's blasphemy.
The fans, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The fans would kill him. It was really embarrassing. And those later World Series, I mean, let's face it, I mean, he was really not involved like he was.
Well, I mean, no, I think the 09 championship is where it stopped. Prior to that, I mean, I think 01, 02, I think 01, 03, those lost World Series, I think he was still, and certainly the dynasty, he was still there. He was the guy. It happened, 09 is the one championship without him. He was still with them. He was still alive, but he was not running the team. But he gets credit for all the championships. He's great. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. I'm not diminishing him in any way. But we talk about him when we want to get on Hal as if he's nothing like his father. His father would have already won 10 World Series with Aaron Judge. And everyone would have been fired, and great people would have been hired, and it would have been nothing but success. And instead, Hal has given us nothing but failures. And it's just a ridiculous argument. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with more of your phone calls. Talking a little bit of Knicks, too. As they take down the 76ers 111-99 and win the first game of this dopey tournament. And again, I got to tell you about the American League Cy Young and why it makes me a little happy here on a Tuesday night. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. We'll come back with your calls right after this.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you at 10:43. So Pat Boyle will be on. Who's filling in for me? Well, I'm here filling in for Keith. He'll be on at midnight, taking you until 5 o'clock in the warm up show. I'm watching right now Dallas and Golden State, and Klay Thompson just hits a three for Dallas. He had obviously a great kind of ceremony for him at the start of the game. Obviously, well deserved as part of, you know, this great run that the Warriors have been on. And their court in this, you know, this in-season tournament, the NBA Cup or whatever, like, their court seems reasonable. It's like a light gray. It's not that obtrusive on the eyes, for lack of a better word. Just like, this seems like a normal color. It's light. Like, the red ones and the green ones and the blue ones. Like, last night watching this game tonight, watching the 76er game with the Knicks, like, it looked like the floor of an aquarium or something. It was hideous. It's impossible. There are other ways. Evan texted me. He's like, stop being an old man complaining about, like, the sky. I'm like, I'm not complaining about the sky. I'm complaining about the floor. And we have to watch this. It hurts. It literally hurts my eyes. There are ways to distinguish it. He was like, you turn it on, you know right away it's an in-tournament game. Have the cup at the center of the court like they do. Change the foul line a little bit. Like they do enough little things. Have some color. Change it up a little bit. Don't give me this entire full court of this hideous one color. I can't watch it. I honestly can't watch it. Whoever's idea it was terrible. And don't do it again next year. I can't believe they continue to do it. It's a horrendous look. Horrendous. And this is why I am cranky. I'm a cranky old man. I'm on no sleep. I'm looking forward to actually getting home tonight at a reasonable time in the morning and being able to sleep. If I get home at 1:30 and I fall asleep right away, which is always dicey, but if I fall asleep at 1:30, 1:45, I don't have to wake up till about 7 a.m. when my wife leaves, like 6:50, before I have to watch the kids. So I would have a decent chunk there, and then maybe I can get back to bed for a little bit. I might actually be able to get like 8 or 9 hours if I could figure it out and try and steal some sleep here.
Do you do breakfast when you get up with your kids? Like, how do you handle that?
I do breakfast for them. I do not eat breakfast. No.
You don't eat breakfast at all?
I don't eat breakfast. But
most important meal of the day, Chris.
That's what they say. It's overrated, actually. It's a lie.
Overrated?
You
think it's the worst out of breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
No, it's oddly enough my favorite. For years, my birthday dinner was breakfast. Pancakes, eggs, bacon, toast. Like, I love breakfast, but the idea of eating in the morning for breakfast is overrated. I still eat breakfast food. I just don't eat it at breakfast. I don't really have a breakfast anymore. You're looking at me like this is weird. First of all, when I'm dieting, I try to do intermittent fasting. So when I'm fasting, you skip breakfast. It's easier.
Sure.
So I go home, and I don't want to eat right before sleep because you got to understand what's breakfast for me. Right when I wake up, then I do breakfast. You know,
right?
My schedule is such where I eat at 3 p.m. I eat at 3, 4 p.m. That's breakfast for me, I guess.
Right. I don't think the time matters. I was just wondering, your first meal of the day when you wake up,
okay,
that's breakfast. Do you have...
That's the first meal, no matter what time it is.
Yeah,
if you wake up at 7 p.m., because you work that kind of schedule, 7 p.m., that's breakfast. Then.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
I can't...
Well, breakfast literally means break fast. I understand that. But
nobody knows that. Now...
What do you mean nobody knows that?
That's a false claim.
What are you talking about? Everybody knows. That's what breakfast means. You're breaking your fast.
No, that's break fast, you know, not breakfast.
But that's what breakfast comes from.
I disagree.
What do you mean you disagree? Google it. You don't know what you're talking about. Yes, that's where it comes from. But when I try and... So I go home. Typically, I leave here at 5 o'clock. I get home at 6:30 or so. It takes me about an hour and a half to get home. I know, brutal. And then I'm with the kids. I get home at 6:30. My wife's out the door at 6:50. We have 20 minutes of just, okay, this is what needs to be. I pretty much get scolded for 20 minutes. I shouldn't say scolded, but I get the run through of everything that needs to be done. There's a load of laundry. I need you to take it out of the washer and put it in the dryer before you go to sleep. There's this. Make sure you pack this for lunch for this one, blah, blah, blah. Like, I get the whole, here's the order of things I need to do in the 20 minutes before she leaves. Then if they're up, try and put something on for them or do something while I kind of have doze on the couch while they're taking care of themselves for the most part. Then I get them dressed. We do breakfast. We brush our teeth. I get them all ready. Then I get them on the bus, and then I'm back in the house. Now that I don't have to drive the little guy that they both get on the bus now that he's in kindergarten is tremendous. Because I used to have to, the older guy would get on the bus. Then I would have to drive the younger kid to daycare, which was 20 minutes away. And it would cost me 40 minutes there and back. Now I just walk them to the bus stop, and I'm back in my house at by 8:30, 8:40, and then I'm asleep hopefully by 9 a.m. And then I sleep, if things go well, from 9 to about 2:30, 3 o'clock, if I can, but that very rarely happens, because the one thing that is the hardest thing to do for whatever reason, if you are, and I don't know if you guys can appreciate it, anyone has this shift, if you're listening, when you sleep during the day, it's not so much falling asleep. And sometimes it's not even necessarily staying asleep. Like if for whatever reason, if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning when most people sleep, it's dark out, you go to the you wake up because you have to go to the bathroom, you wake up because you heard a noise, you wake up because you had a bad dream, you wake up because your wife rolls over and punches you in the face, whatever reason, because you're snoring and she can't stand it anymore. Whatever the reason is, it's relatively easy to get back in bed and go back to sleep. It's middle of the night, blah, blah. For whatever reason, if I wake up and I look over and it's 11:15 and I have to go to the bathroom or whatever reason, it takes ever to go back to sleep. I don't know what it is. I cannot just quickly go back to sleep.
It's your brain.
So that's the worst thing. The worst thing is waking up for whatever reason. Door slams, phone goes off, whatever the case could be. If I wake up and it's before like 2 p.m., I'm just screwed. Screwed. So that's where we are. So I'm looking forward to actually getting into bed in the middle of the night, 1:30 in the morning, get some sleep before I have to wake up and take care of the kids. I'm looking forward to it. Should be fun. Actual sleep in the bed with my wife. Nice. It's the little things that we all take for granted. 100%. That you miss. But I don't know what I was talking about there. The ugly courts. Somehow it's my poor sleep habits. That's okay. I'm living. I'm making it work. I talked to Jerry Seinfeld today. Everything else is cream cheese. Never date a lady with a... What do you mean? You don't know that reference either? What are you? Where do you come from? You never saw Teen Wolf?
The movie?
Yeah, the movie. What was there? WPIX CW TV show, Teen Wolf?
I think that was Buffy.
No, I know there was definitely
Dawson's
Buffy.
Dawson's Creek, those types of shows.
Yes, yeah.
No, everything is cream cheese?
The rest is cream cheese.
Oh. Well, I have an aversion to cheese, so I don't want to.
You're a weird guy. No, but you ever saw that? Never?
No.
It's advice his basketball coach gives him, Michael J. Fox and Teen Wolf. Great movie. Check out Teen Wolf. Love it. Never play cards with a man, same last name as a city. Never date a woman with a dagger, tattoo of a dagger anywhere on a body. And I think there's something else, and then the rest is all cream cheese.
You know what someone made fun of me about?
Mm-hmm.
That I never saw Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad one, too. You should have seen Good Will Hunting.
Never saw Good Will.
I feel like there's a couple. I always have this conversation with people about movies you have to have seen. All right, I'll involve you in the conversation for a second, okay? I know I'm being smug. I'm sorry.
From the walking movie spoiler.
Yeah. Well, listen, I understand what's going on with movies. I'm good at it. Okay, here's some movies that I feel like you have to see. Here's the obvious one. It's the one of the great movies of all time, clearly. Well, just hopefully you say you've seen it and we move on. The Godfather. You have to see The Godfather.
Yes.
Okay. Now you get into a little bit more abstract. I feel, for whatever reason, especially at our age and when it hit, Forrest Gump. You have to have seen Forrest Gump.
Agreed. Okay. I've seen Forrest Gump.
That's a movie you have to see. Another one here, a little bit different. You have to have seen Braveheart. You have to see Braveheart.
Mel Gibson.
Yes. Okay, Braveheart. There's another one you have to see. Okay, now we get into a little bit more abstract, but comedies. Like, this is one, I know it's not everybody's favorite, it's different, but I really feel like, and again, this is all the time period of when I grew up. You have to have seen Ace Ventura.
Of course.
Okay, so that's a movie you have to have seen.
Agreed.
Okay. I feel like that's it. And then, what's the other one I always say? It's Braveheart. It's Forrest Gump. There's like one. Oh, I'm sorry. Two more. Shawshank Redemption.
I of course.
And A Few Good Men.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. All
right, so you're good. You've
seen them all.
You've seen all the movies on the must-have-seen list. Okay.
So that not was really up until like mid-90s we're talking about.
Yeah, I feel like that's the age group where I'm like, those are the movies you have to have seen. Like, everybody's seen Forrest Gump. I mean, there's other ones too. I would say Lord of the Rings, but I know that's
based
not.
On what the movie did for the Hollywood and for the culture, The Matrix might have to be on that list. Because
that's
totally
fair.
Changed the game with visual arts, with everything that it...
I would put Pulp Fiction on that list as well. I think you have to see Pulp Fiction.
Agreed, sure.
Yeah. Trying to think of other genres of movies that were... Is there a Western you'd have to have seen? I love Unforgiven, won Best Picture with Clint Eastwood. Did you ever see Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood?
I might have. I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say... I've seen Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves, yeah.
That I've seen.
That always reminds me of my buddy Lieb. We still say it to this day. There's a scene in Dances with Wolves. I don't remember the movie all that well, but I know this one scene. There's a scene, he's like... hanging out with someone's kind of a weird character or whatever, and he's eating beans around the fire, and the guy breaks wind and he says, put that in your book. We still say that to this day. Anytime someone breaks wind, we'll go, put that in your book. All right. Break time? Okay. 10:54. That was just one of those segments Paul loves where we just talked about absolutely nothing. 888-808-1019. We'll get back at the top of the hour and reset and talk about Joe Shane, the New York Giants, maybe a little bit into the New York Jets. Haven't spent a lot of time on the Jets today and the disaster that continues to be New York Jet football, but Joe Shane did speak to the media earlier today. I don't know what you say at 2-8, but he tried, and we'll get into some of the disappointing things he said, some of the things I don't care about, and some of the specific things that impact the future of this team that actually matter moving forward when you have a 2-8 season. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back after this. Final hour of our ride to midnight as I take you to midnight and Pat Boyle. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll be right back.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.